Episode 475 of Global from Asia. From magician to millionaire's mentor, Tomer Rabinovich on e-commerce and epic events. Let's tune in.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice.
Yo, what's good, Global from Asia family? Welcome back to the Global from Asia podcast. We're closing in on our 500th episode. Can you believe it? I'm Mike, your host, broadcasting from the heart of Asia, and I'm pumped to be here with my awesome co-host, Lisa Yusen.
Hey everyone, Lisa here, and I'm just as excited as Mike. We've got an incredible episode lined up today, but first, can we talk about the Cross-Border Summit 2025? It's less than a week away. Happening November 3rd to 5th in Thailand. And let me tell you, the energy is electric. Attendees and speakers are buzzing like never before. Everyone's ready to network, learn, and level up their e-commerce game.
The summit is going to be a game changer. We've got an all-star lineup, including today's guest, Tomer Rabinovich, who's dropping serious knowledge on scaling from 7 to 8 figures. Whether you're joining us in person or catching the vibes online, you're not going to want to miss this. Check out crossbordersummit.com for all the details.
Absolutely, Mike. And stick around, because today, an e-commerce rock star, author, and the mastermind behind Top Dog Summit. From magician to millionaire's mentor, his story is wild. Plus, we've got a listener question and some hot tips you won't want to miss. So, let's get into it.
Before we get to the main discussion, a quick shout out to the Cross-Border Summit 2025, happening November 3rd to 5th in Thailand. This year's event is packed with experts like Colin Raja, covering cross-border e-commerce strategies, networking. If you're serious about global business, grab your tickets at crossbordersummit.com.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning into our Global from Asia podcast. Getting up there in the numbers, almost 500, but 500 shows. And we'll be a week into the Cross-Border Summit. We have exciting speaker, Tomer Rabinovich, coming in, also based here in Thailand. And we've met a few times over the years, many years now, like going on 10 years in the space. How are you doing today?
I'm very good, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. We have a lot in common, both in the industry a long time, both into the community building, and you have amazing community, Top Dog, and your summits that you do mainly in the Europe's space, right? Geography, but you're all over the place. You're just speaking in Singapore, and you'll be sharing with us at the Cross-Border Summit and at the Canton Fairs. You come too often. There's so many ways to introduce you. You work with a lot of aggregators in the aggregator stages. You have multiple brands, and you're also into this, very active in the space with your contributions. Your book I've read, and I really enjoyed writing the Amazon Wave book, and there's so much. It's a real treat to have you on the show. We're going to focus on more of the origin story, kind of in e-commerce. I know you maybe a little bit of your magician background, if you're willing, right? And you're from Israel originally. And how'd you get into e-com? I know you talk about it in your book and in your other content, but just for the listeners today, to get an overview. What do you think? Ready?
Yeah, sure. I started like a lot of people. I think back in the day, I just had a regular day job. I graduated from college. I studied business economics. In Israel, you do 3 years in the military. So yeah. I served in the military in Israel for 3.5 years and then signed up for college after that. And I knew ahead of time, even before college, I'm going to have a business of my own. I used to be a magician, as you mentioned, and did some shows. And my parents pushed me to get a degree first before I decided on anything. So I'm like, okay, I'll just do a business degree. And I also thought I'm going to be a magician forever at that time. And then after my business degree, I got an offer to join this company that what they do. It's like a government institution that helps businesses to be formed and also grow. So I joined them as a like low-level employee and just in charge of like courses and training and stuff, and worked with a lot of different consultants. I got them people to join like their programs and stuff. That was very interesting to meet like a lot of successful people and entrepreneurs. And as soon as I started that, I had like a lot of free time, because working 9 to 5, I think you have a lot of free time when you do that. And then I saw Robert Kiyosaki posting on Facebook. So Robert Kiyosaki is the guy who wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad. And he said, this is the first thing I'm pushing that is not my own thing. And that was Amazing Selling Machine.
Oh, really? I didn't know he shared that.
So he was pushing like the fourth cohort, I think. So I signed up to ASM4 and had success with my first product. And then when Prime Day happened, a day after, I came to my boss and said I quit because I just made my salary yesterday. Profit. So I think it's awesome, like time to leave. So that's what got me started. And also I met my wife like in college and I told her, I don't want to grow, have kids and then come back. It's, I don't know, 7 p.m. at night, working 9 to 5. And I also don't want to be a magician because magicians work mostly nights and holidays and stuff. So I don't think that's very good when you have kids. And I think that's not something you think about before you have a family. So I just wanted to dictate my own time and manage my calendar the way I want it to be managed. And I think this is an opportunity our parents or grandparents didn't have to just work from their laptop and make money that way. So that's what got me started in this industry. And then because I'm very comfortable on stage doing shows and stuff, pretty quickly in 2017, I already started speaking at events. And I think being a magician, I think you are very good at learning things. Because you have to learn from books and videos and just learning by yourself and teaching yourself a lot of things. So I also think you become a very good teacher pretty quickly. So I'm very good at like simplifying complicated things. So that helps me like be hopefully a good manager or CEO of my companies and also helping other sellers with what they need. So I went to a lot of masterminds in like 2015, 2016, paid like 10K, 15K for the masterminds. And I kept getting upsold in all of those different events. And that was very upsetting. So I just decided I'll just make the event I want to go to. So in 2017, I started doing Top Dog Summit. And the first three of those were in Israel. So 2017, 18, and 19. I had a business partner at the event back then. And we had 20 people in the first event, like 35 in the second event, 50 people in the third event. And how it goes, I think, had a similar trajectory there. And by 2019, we had so many people that just come back and are sick of seeing Israel all the time because most of the people came outside of Israel. So it wasn't even like Israelis coming to the event anymore. So in 2020, I decided, let's take it outside of Israel. My partner didn't want to do that. He just wanted to, I don't know, cancel the event. He was sick of Amazon by then. So I'm like, let me just buy you out. So I just paid his portion of the business, bought him out, and then already had people sign up for our event in Bulgaria in 2020, and then COVID happened. We pushed our event by 2 years. So we did our event in 2022, Bulgaria. 2023 was Austrian. Sorry, we did Santorini. Then we did Austrian Alps. And this year we did in Portugal. And next year is going to be Cyprus. So what we do in our event, it's a bit different. So all of our speakers are eight-figure sellers. All of the attendees are seven or eight-figure sellers. And initially we didn't have any sponsors. I just wanted like bigger sellers help smaller sellers scale their businesses, no fluff or anything. We charged more unlike other events because it was a full 3-day event. We really wanted to make it unique and also actionable for the sellers there. And over the years, we just changed a bit, modified a bit. So you mentioned I worked with aggregators. So I bought two of the aggregators to my event to sponsor that. That was the first time I bought sponsors in Bulgaria. And from then, we also had a few sponsors every year, but that was never like the main thing. And I never made any money on this event. It was always about, let's just bring smart people together. And we had 30, 40% coming back every single year because they know the entire lineup changes, the country changes as well. And they just get to see a lot of the same people every year, but a lot of new people kept coming in. So that was a lot of fun. And it is a lot of fun. And it's something that they do every single year.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard one. Different country every year, man. We did in China. As you came up to one of ours in China, which is awesome. Right. I think 2018, and then back here. And I moved to Thailand after. I also had a COVID. I guess everybody has COVID stories, but we almost did one in the first one in Thailand in 2020. My wife is more the brains than me, and I was almost. I don't know. I just wanted to put the, for some reason. I just wanted to lock in the hotel.
Right.
And they were like pushing me to get the lock in the date.
Right.
It would have been November 2020 and it was like January 2020. And it was like New Year's. I wanted to pay the hotel or a deposit. And then my wife's like, why do it? So luckily I didn't put deposit because I don't even think that place stayed in business, but maybe they're around. I don't want to get into the name. But...
So yeah, we paid a deposit to the hotel in Bulgaria, and we told them, and that was a new hotel that just opened just before COVID.
Ouch.
So they took a big hit, but we told them, keep the deposit because we know this is going to end at some point. We still want to do the event with you and we don't want you to raise the price.
Okay.
Once that happened, so they said, okay, that's fine. And I think they thanked us for like keeping them alive with having a deposit with them. It was like a very big hotel in the center of Sofia, which is the capital of Bulgaria. So that was, anyway, a lot of fun.
Awesome.
To do the event there.
Great.
Yeah.
So that was, I took some notes. That was a lot. I went through a lot of the story in one shot here, which is great. Maybe going back earlier. Yeah. I still haven't been to Israel, if you can believe. It's on my list. I might even be maybe not Israel. I'm 25% Russian.
My mother, okay.
And some of my Israeli friends think I should go try to like get my Israeli, try to become Israeli from that. But I didn't get to know her much. But I really want to go there. But I remember I read in your book about the restaurant. There was a really good restaurant in Israel.
Yeah. Israel is one of the best places to eat. To get food. Yeah. Like, I think the best food is in Israel. I'm obviously biased, but I just came to Israel to be with the family and stuff for a few weeks, and I just couldn't stop eating the food. It's just so good. And Thailand is very good, has very good food as well. But Israel is just amazing in terms of like cheese and vegetables and like very healthy, very good food. But yeah, so that restaurant that you remember is, I think this is the chapter that is being discussed the most in my book called The Six-Star Experience, which is all about how to get more five-star reviews for your business. It's by focusing on six stars and then you land at five, right? Aim for the moon and land amongst the stars. That restaurant is just a good example of very good customer experience, and they are very successful now. They are based close to where I live, like 2 minutes from my house.
Wow.
But that is like very isolated. That's 2-hour drive from Tel Aviv and it's like far from everywhere. But it was... now, I think recently, like number one burger restaurant in Israel or something crazy like that. And it's not, I don't think it's because they have the best burger necessarily. I think it's just because of the entire vibe when you go into the restaurant and everything they do for you. So I think that's just what a lot of e-commerce businesses are missing in business in general. And then not just in e-commerce, I think most people just overpromise and underdeliver. And I think it should be reversed where you underpromise and overdeliver, right? So I always try to underpromise with everything that I do, my events, my products and everything. And then I have an opportunity to surprise everybody when they get something from me. So,
agreed.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff at our event that is crazy. And so I can give one example. So last year at our event, we told everybody you need to get to sleep. You need to go to bed early today because you need to wake up at 4 a.m. tomorrow because we have a hot air balloon. We need to get
awesome.
And then we took everybody out to dinner. So they go on the bus, they get off the bus. And when you get off the bus, we have like your names written down and you get an envelope. And that envelope, and that was just when AI kind of started booming. That was like 2 years ago. So you get this envelope and inside it is a postcard with a picture, like an AI image of you on a hot air balloon, right? If you had your spouse with you, it's like the both of you. And then there is an entire song written out and you have all the words and everything. And then you have a QR code to scan. It sends you to a page where you can listen to the song. And we use Suno. No one knew what Suno was back then to do the song. And then we edited the video so it doesn't even look like Suno anymore. So it looked like very good. And then the day after, so after the hot air balloon, everybody got back to the event. And then we explained to them how we did all of that. And it was very specific to you about you and about your business and your journey and then get ready to the hot air balloon adventure or whatever. Cool. But we keep doing those types of things at our event. And again, it's part of an experience, right? It's not just about scaling your business or whatever. People always want to come and see what we're going to do this year.
Nice, nice. So when we had first met and you were doing events in Israel and it was 2018, and this, I think you were also mentoring a Canton Fair groups and you've always been very hands-on. When you did say it earlier that maybe lifestyle, why Thailand or Asia or where was it? So was it directly from Israel to Thailand? Was there some Europe or other places?
Yeah. So the way I built my businesses to begin with was to have complete freedom if possible. So we never owned a house in Israel. I always wanted to have flexibility.
Same.
Move around. When COVID started, I told my wife, let's just get out of here. Like, this is not going to end anytime soon. Israel is very restrictive as it is, so it's going to be very difficult. We decided to stay in Israel. We had small kids, and it just made sense. So we stayed in Israel. But then when the war started two years ago, and I just saw a lot of U.S. forces coming into Israel on, like, huge ferry boats and stuff, I told my wife, let's go.
Yeah.
This is the time to leave. So we took three suitcases, took our kids, left the country, and the only flight we could find was to Rome. So we flew to Rome in Italy, and then we spent a week there. Then my parents lived in Milan back in the time, so we went to Milan to my parents, spent another week there, and we thought, okay, this is going to be over, and we might go back to Israel. And then we saw it's just getting worse in Israel. And where we lived, it was safe, but we also knew we are living on the border with Lebanon up north, so we knew that might heat up as well and will escalate. So we just said, okay, let's find somewhere to go for a few months. And it was winter. It was like November 2023. And we thought, okay, what are we going to do? And we thought we can stay in Europe, but it's winter time. It's going to be very cold. And what are we going to do here? So we just said, okay, let's just go to Thailand. Thailand's very nice this time of year. We spent our honeymoon in Thailand 10 years before that. So we thought that's going to be probably a good location. And also very safe in terms of Israelis, Jewish, whatever. It's very safe. No, like, anti-Semitism going around or anything like that. So we knew it's a very safe place for us to be in. So we flew to Koh Samui to begin with. And we thought maybe we'll move to Koh Phangan later because we know a lot of Israelis move over there. But we just fell in love with Koh Samui pretty quickly and put our kids in. There was a kindergarten just opened. The kindergarten slash school that just opened by Israelis as well, but had a lot of international kids there. So we just put our kids there, and it was very good for them. And they picked up English in 3 months. They came with no English, yeah. And the kids, like, pick up things pretty quickly. So they learned English very fast. And that was, yeah. So we've been in Koh Samui for the past 2 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, my kids, we had some time in, I think, when others listening, I lived in China like 12 years total. I had 07, got married there, but came here before COVID to Thailand. And then the bad joke is it was like the longest time with your in-laws during the holiday. Like, in this case, was Chinese New Year, but any culture was going to your in-laws for a holiday ended up being years in China.
Right.
Back here. But same, the kids had lost their English in China, and then it picked back up in 2023. We had come back too. So yeah, it was crazy times. The world.
Yeah.
Are we back to normal? I think we're some, I don't know. I don't even know what is normal anymore.
Yeah. So I really think that everything is moving very quickly, right? Even Israel, like, the war apparently is over, but now it's not over. So mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on anymore. So I think everything is moving so quickly. AI and like everything. Everything is just moving quickly, right? Yeah. Everything is changing every day. I just want to be flexible. Me and my wife had this discussion and just said, let's just live 1 year at a time right now, not lock in for the next 10 years. We're going to do this. People keep asking us, are you coming back to Israel? We're like, we're going to stay in town until the end of the school year, and then we'll talk to you. Yeah. So we don't want to make any rush decisions right now. And I think a lot of people around us are the same way. Like, a lot of them came here temporarily and just stuck around. A lot of people left already and came back, and like, people keep moving around. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I also think because of the way our businesses are structured, I'm completely fine. Let's move to the US. Let's go to Portugal. Let's do whatever.
Yeah,
let's
just
move to different places. For the kids, obviously more difficult, right? To move them around, and it makes it more difficult. But I do think for them to have this unique experience is something they will be thankful for when they grow up. And they're still in touch with some of their friends in Israel. And I really think this is an opportunity, again, no one had before us, before our lifetime. So I want to take advantage of it as much as I can.
I agree. Yeah, we're really blessed as, like, online business owners and in the space. I think most listeners as well are pretty mobile. And it's definitely our generation, right? Like, our parents, they didn't have these privileges. So it's a great advantage. Because,
right.
Yeah, like you said, I don't even want... Sometimes I regret, maybe I could have... There was a couple chances I almost got a condo or something in the U.S. when before I came to China. But I'm glad. I've always stayed flexible too. I think more and more people... There's that founder of Telegram, he's
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't own anything.
He doesn't own anything, nothing. Like, and he's got billions. I guess that's the new. It's freedom, right? Like, I think that's what he says. I think that's what you're saying. It's my thought too, right? Of course, I have stuff. Honestly, I'm a little bit. I got the
back
here. I got, but I can just leave. I've been so destroyed. COVID, I lost so many things. I had stuff and I couldn't go back to those places. And people left. People got locked. I lost stuff I like autographed books by the authors. Cool stuff, but it's gone. Yeah. So I think it's also because, at least for me, it's also because of the COVID, and we don't know what's the future. So I think.
But the funny thing is, like, we deal with e-commerce, right? And we deal with excellent physical products.
Yeah, that, we're stuck with the supply chain.
We don't own much. But I think, again, I think it's like, I think people consume a lot more than they need. And I think entrepreneurship is all about creating stuff. So what I preach is that you need to create more than you consume, right? So if I watch YouTube for 2 hours, then I need to work for like 4 hours, right? I cannot just consume stuff all day long. Okay. And I think that's what most people do. Like, even in their job, they might be creating things, right? But then when they come home and they watch Netflix for 4 hours, I don't think that's very productive. Yeah, I think it's all about creating things. And I think the more I talk to entrepreneurs, I notice that a lot of them are less interested in what most people are interested in. So it might be going out to a bar and get drunk, right? Or it might be watching Netflix, or it might be even sports, right? That a lot of them watch less sports as their business kind of grows. And I think it just happens naturally to entrepreneurs. And you probably do some friends on the way there, but then you get new ones, right? And you get ones with a shared mindset to yours. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a very lonely business if you, like, it's your choice, right? If you want to make it lonely, but I think it's like a lonely journey. So I think events like yours, like mine, I think that's when people can really find their tribe and connect with like-minded people. So I've been going to events since I started this journey in e-commerce, because I think this is like the only way I can still stay sane. And also my days, I don't know how your day looks like these days, but what I do. So it took me a long time. It took me maybe 2-3 years into this business, because I had my day job for 2 years, right? After I quit, it was very difficult for me to manage my time. Because when I had my job, it was like 9 to 5, anywhere before, after, I could just do this, right? But after that, I just was working for 10 hours, but nothing gets done. And I realized that I just need to dictate what I want my life to look like. So I used to prioritize work comes first. That was like the first thing. Then I put like my kids next, my wife next, and then myself. If I had any time for myself anymore, I would put myself last. And all I did was reverse that order. So I would put myself first. So these days I'm going to the gym like 4 or 5 times a week. I take care of myself. I eat healthier, right? I do all that. Then my wife comes next. We have date nights and we just spend a lot of time together. Lunch we have together every day. And then my kids come later. And then the business is with whatever is left on the calendar, right? But the calendar is just dictating my life. So I think I can work 18 hours a day if I wanted to. There is always more stuff I can do, right? But I think I think if you work efficiently for 4 hours and doing deep work and then have 2, 3, 4 more hours dedicated for like meetings and talking to people and stuff, that's more than enough to scale any business. So I think people are workaholics, especially like in e-commerce, and it's very easy to get sucked into this thing. But you need to remember there's a life outside of that. And I helped so many sellers exit their businesses, and I saw a lot of them fell into depression afterwards because all they knew is running a business and they didn't have a life beyond that. And I think when someone, when I coach these days, I coach and eight-figure sales, and when I help them like scale to an exit, I tell them, why do you want to sell? What's after selling? And we need to have something there. And if it's all like starting a new brand, I tell them, so don't sell. What's the point of selling? Mm-hmm. So it needs to be like, it can be starting a new brand or taking a break or whatever. But if you need a break, like just automate your business and then you can take a 1 month break or whatever. And a lot of sales exit because they needed a break, because they wanted to sell the business.
Yeah, there's a lot there. A couple of points back earlier about consuming versus creating. And there was, I think it's Derek Sivers. I don't want to quote wrong, but somebody says you want to, I don't want to speak about death. You want to finish your life like on empty. A lot of us have these ideas in our head and are like, later I'll do this, later I'll do that. But you want to almost have the goal to be on empty of these creative ideas.
You don't want to have regret. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm I love, I guess maybe that's part of being an entrepreneur. Maybe there's different types of entrepreneur, but I love creating. So I try to create deep work in the morning. So I had a call before this, but I try not to do too much in my mornings. My mornings is my creating or deep work time.
Same
and then, like you said, afternoon, like we do these podcast recordings, meetings, calls, email, admin. And then I try to have evening with my family. It's my 4-4-4 or so, like 12-hour day or so.
Yeah. So what I try to do these days is I drop my kids off at school. Then it like close to 9 a.m. I'm at the gym, right? Then like an hour and a half later, I go to a coffee shop. I change locations. I don't know, like 4 or 5 of those on the island. I work until 2 to 30 p.m. Then I have some calls after that. My wife picks up the kids at 4. I have lunch with her at home usually before 2:30. And then the entire afternoon we spend with the kids. And then from 9 p.m. until 11 p.m., I might have like more calls or more things going on because I work a lot with the U.S. as well. Yeah. So it's like the only time I can talk to them. But this is what my life looks like now. When I was in Israel, it was a bit different. If I'll move somewhere else, it's going to be a bit different. But the whole point is to organize your life in a way that fits you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be the other way around.
Agreed. And yeah, there's a lot. Oh, man, I'm blanking on the other sections. But yeah, people just want to sell their business because they feel like it's like the next box to check on their list, right? I'm with you. I build stuff that I want to have long term and hopefully grow and build up more. I think it's going to get harder to start new ones.
Yeah, so what I tell people, right? So I tell them first, if you want to exit, it needs to be for life-changing money. You cannot just exit for, let's say, $1 million. If you live in Romania, that might be life-changing for you, right? So life-changing to me means that you don't need to work again, still, right?
Yeah.
So for most people, it's probably closer to the $10 million mark, right? I would say between 5 to 10 million is probably where most people feel comfortable living off of that money, right? Unless, let's say you have a $2 million business in revenue right now, and you were thinking, I'm going to sell and then start a new one. I'm like, it's going to be easier to scale the $2 million business to $4 million instead of selling this one and building another one for $2 million. Like, it's just how things work, right? It's a lot easier to scale a product that sells 10 units a day to 20, they launch another product that sells 10 a day, right? It's usually like just easier to do that to a certain extent, right? At some point, obviously, it makes sense to just start over. But I think so many people get this wrong and they sell for the wrong reasons. They sell from a weakness point and not from a strong point. All the buyers, doesn't matter which buyer you talk to, they all want to buy a business that's going upwards and not downwards, right? And I think sellers most of, I worked with this company as a consultant that does funding for sellers. And I told them, I came to this realization and I told them, if someone comes to you begging for money, you probably don't want to give them any. And you want to find those that don't even need, they need money and you want to fund them. They're like, yeah, that's exactly how it works. So it's the same thing here.
Yeah, I say to my kids and my son is having, I don't want to embarrass him. He maybe watch this one day, but he's trying too hard to make friends, right? Mm-hmm. Like he wants, so he's like overly like friendly and the friends like push back. Like they think something's almost wrong. It's how I'm not so involved in his day-to-day school, but I say when you want to, people want something that they can't easily get, right? So if you're like desperately trying to sell your business or get a business partner, a wife, a girlfriend, a friend, or anybody, like it's human nature, right? So you have to be
you just need to work on yourself, right? It's all about working on yourself to make yourself irresistible, right? To make yourself your business, yourself, you want to find a spouse, whatever it is, right? You need to work on yourself and that will show up, right? The opportunity will present itself to you.
Yeah, I hope people like it. I think this is fun. We're bouncing between business and life, but I think it's how both of us live. So the other thought is, you mentioned you had a business partner with the conference in the first 2 years, but how about your brands? How do you structure those and how did you scale with inventories? We talked about we're mobile, we don't have real estate, but we have inventory. So I know a lot of people, even myself, it's not my favorite thing to do is buying inventory. And I know you talk about it in the book and content. But
so the way I see it, I think entrepreneurs don't like to manage things. They like to create new things. I tell Amazon sellers that they need to have two managers in their business. They need to have one that is in charge of operations. Operations, when I say operations, supply chain, PPC, and anything to do with KPIs. So with like pricing and coupons and all of the like day-to-day stuff that has to do with the business to maximize profitability, right? Then the other side, the other type of manager you need is a manager that is more creative and they are more focused on growth and more project-based. So the operations manager is more day-to-day stuff, and then the marketing creative manager, whatever you want to call it, is more growth and project-based. So usually we as entrepreneurs, we like the growth part more. So the first person we should hire is an operations manager. So they might start part-time, they might start full-time, you might pay them like $1,000, $2,000 a month, but you don't need someone who is very skillful. You just want someone who is very sharp with a growth mindset and just can learn everything there is to know about this business, either from you or from courses or whatever. And then they can grow into this management role and then hire people underneath themselves. I think what the mistake most sellers make is they hire a customer support person, a PPC person, and a social media person. And they have all these people reporting to them, and they're still the bottleneck of their business. And it's worse than just doing everything themselves. Once you have that operations manager and you can just focus on growth, it's so much more fun that way. And once you have the creative manager to just bounce off ideas with them, and now they're leading the project. So they are the ones finding products. They are the ones doing whatever. And then they just get the green light from you to push it forward. So I will say that's, I think, one of the biggest mistakes sellers make. And that's scalable. When you have two managers and then you have a few more people underneath them, I teach to have five more people under, two and three under those two people. But that's pretty much all you need to scale to eight figures if all you're doing is Amazon. In most cases, again, it depends on the product that you sell. If you sell clothing and you have 2,000 SKUs, you might need more people, right? But for most businesses on Amazon, you have 2-3 products doing really well, another 10-20 products are doing okay, and that's most businesses. So for those, I think it's more than enough to have these 7 people, and some people are okay with having just 2 people. And also those 2 people are going to work together and they're going to figure out like strategy and stuff. And again, everything is going through me, right? I still give all the green lights. If we have a new product, let's say as an example, we have a new product. So they do the research. I approve the research. They go to suppliers. I approve the supplier. They go to send a sample. They send a sample to my house. I approve the sample and so on, right? But everything gets through me. Nothing gets like over my head or anything. And I think that's the easiest way to scale.
Cool. Yeah, I remember you mentioned this in the book, and at the green light, I've used that. And we'll be lucky to have you at our summit this year, coming back after pre-COVID. Last time I had the pleasure to have you. And you'll be sharing about this exact kind of formulas and growth of getting 8 figures from 7 and growing your business. And I'm really excited for your session. And just, of course, just having you there for our event to see how it's going. So that'll be actually it's 1 week. We already got your flight, you're already coming in. But this show will be like 1 week before. So already some people from your community is coming, which is great. Yeah, yeah. We'll have a good group.
Yeah, I saw a few sign up. Yeah, that's great.
It's going to be good. And then yours, when's your next Top Dog?
We usually do our event end of May or early June every year. But we do it right after Canton Fair. I think you're doing the same.
I do it in the fall. After phase 3. So
yeah.
And then it's jointopdog.com for those.
Jointopdog.com, that's the link. If you look for my book, it's Ride the Amazon Wave.
Yeah.
Obviously on Amazon Audible. And we also just launched a new brand. We actually launched a supplement brand called Messless, which is about being more productive and less mess in your life.
Cool.
So if you go to getmessless.com, you can check that out as well.
Okay. Yeah, I can link this on the notes too. And thanks for sharing with us, Tomer. I'm excited to see you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll see you soon.
Wow. Lisa. Wasn't that an incredible chat with Tomer Rabinovich? From magician to e-commerce guru, his journey is straight up inspiring. I'm already pumped to hear him speak at the Cross-Border Summit next week.
Totally, Mike. Tomer's insights on scaling, community building, and living life on your terms are gold. And speaking of the summit, it's happening November 3rd to 5th, right here in Thailand. The attendees and speakers are more excited than ever. Trust me. You don't want to miss this. Grab your spot at crossbordersummit.com.
Oh, and don't forget to check out Tomer's book, Riding the Amazon Wave, on Amazon and Audible, and his new supplement brand at getmessless.com. Plus, if you're loving these community vibes, look into his Top Dog Summit at jointopdog.com.
Couldn't agree more, Mike. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. And a big shout out to our Global From Asia community. Got a question? Drop it in the comments. Until then, keep hustling and forging your own path.
That's a wrap, folks. Global from Asia, where the daunting process of setting up and operating a global business is broken down into straight-up actionable advice. See you next time.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.